Minnesota Farm Bureau has been a co-sponsor for umpteen years here, I think way back at the beginning. And with Minnesota Farm Bureau, Shane Isnay joins us now. Hello, Shane.
Well, hello, Mick. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Last time we talked, you were driving up from southern Minnesota. You were shaking hands and campaigning. And then there was the Farm Bureau State Convention, and there was this election. And
I think I referenced the Johnny Cash song, I've Been Everywhere, because I was kind of covering the whole state there. But I really enjoyed my time campaigning, covering, like you said, the whole state, and really got to meet a lot more of the Farm Bureau, kind of the family, and really enjoyed it. You know, I had an annual meeting, I came out short, but Farm Bureau's still a winner through the process. Dan Glessing is a great leader and a great friend of mine, and he'll do a great job. So,
well, the journalist in me has to ask the question: you're going to try to going to do it again?
Well, we'll see down the road. You know, yeah. It's a the timing was right for me, my age, and the age of my kids, and we'll see what happens down the road. But that job doesn't turn over very often. You know, Kevin Papp was 16 years before Dan, and then our prior one, Al Christopherson, was 17 years. So
yeah.
We'll see how things go and see what opportunities come about. But we'll deal with that later.
So. Yeah. All right. Well, in the meantime, there was this year called 2021. What was it like up in Roseau County, Minnesota?
Well, you know, very unusual for us up there. We were extremely dry, and normally when we get into especially the months of June and July, we are normally dealing with a lot of excess rain. Well, this year, the spigot shut off, and as a result, the crops got hurt pretty severely. Our pastures kind of dried up. We have a beef, a cow-calf farm, too, along with our grain crops. And boy, really really suffered. We just always thought that next rain was coming, and it never did. And it's very unusual for our part of the state. Normally, we deal with excess, and sometimes we can get dry in the fall, but never early on. So, yeah, crops and pastures really, really did suffer. So,
one of the unique crops of Roseau County, though, Kitson County too, is grass seed, turf grass. And yep. How did that crop suffer this year?
You know, it did okay. It because it's such an early crop, it caught some of the moisture that was there from the winter, the snow, and still definitely down, probably, three quarters of a crop. So it definitely did get hurt, and it's especially tough because prices have went up considerably also for grass seed, but because the major growing areas are northwestern Minnesota, Oregon, and then a few places in Canada, well, they were all dry, so the production was way down. So, but the prices were good. That's kind of the whole story of all the crops. The prices are good, but then our yields were down on everything.
So. Yeah, all across Canada and much of the western U.S. for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, you are cows, corn, beans, and what else?
Yeah, we got a little bit of everything. We raised the spring wheat, which was real great for this conference. It's still one of the more major crops in the Northern Valley, into our area. But we also raise alfalfa. We've raised that commercially, sold to dairy farms and horse farms for 40, 50 years. And, of course, this year we really didn't have anything to sell because our production was way down. But we do that, and then this perennial ryegrass, which has gotten to be very popular up in our area. We have a couple of processing plants up there now. Our grass seed can go to any number of hardware stores or Lowe's or Menards. And, you never know. The stuff you pick up to seed your lawn could be from our farm. So it's kind of a unique crop, but has done very well for us. So.
All right. Well, how'd the cow? A lot of guys are short on forage going into the fall. How are you doing?
You know, we were able to adapt pretty good. There are neighbors and things that ended up having to sell off some of their herd, but because we grew a bunch of corn for grain, we just had to transfer that over and chop a lot more corn than we normally do. So between that and also we utilize our ryegrass straw or hay once we take the seed out and are able to use some of that for feed. So we're sitting okay. Some others up there are not as fortunate. Like I said, we got some late rains that brought in some late cuttings and kind of got the pastures going again. But yeah, much much below average what we expect from our. But you know, the cattle have done well. They're in the lots right now, and the calves are weaned and they're on full feed and doing well. So yeah, so they've adapted very well. And but yeah, we basically had to kind of start feeding a little earlier than we normally do because just really really short on pasture. So.
Yeah, and the quality of the feed is okay.
Yeah, not bad. You know, we did all sorts of testing. You're always worried in years of drought about nitrate issues in some of the feeds during dry conditions, but all of ours turned out good. And so, you know, it's not high quality for beef cattle. We don't need the top quality, but we're very adequate for our herd. So,
all right. There is, you know, a lot of optimism in agriculture right now, and there's also a lot of anxiety in agriculture right now. Again, how do you look at going into 2022? Fertilizer, yet crops prices are pretty good. What's your thought?
Yeah, you know, I think as farmers, we're always kind of eternal optimists, and when we see prices improve, and we feel good about that. But then in turn, like you mentioned, now our inputs have went through the roof, and I think it's forced a lot of people to look at, you know, doing some marketing at these price levels to make sure that if you're going to be locking in fertilizers and inputs, you better lock in the other end, because we never know what can happen with the markets. So I think people are looking forward to the high prices of the commodities, but then there is the anxiety, of course, of the inputs. So
yeah, well, we talked about the Minnesota Farm Bureau co-sponsoring the Prairie Grains Conference, and just released now is the priority issues for 2022, and supply chain is number one on the list. Huh?
It is, yeah, and you mentioned, and we really are a proud sponsor of Prairie Grains. We've had a great cooperation with wheat growers and other groups, and you know, it's been a great friend. Again, it's our first year back live, and really been like I said, very proud to be a sponsor. But yeah, so our board of directors, which I serve on in Minnesota, we develop along with staff and management, develop these priorities for the upcoming year. And part of it is based on our delegate session, which we just finished at our annual meeting. The next day we go in and we set these priorities, and they can change from year to year. But like you said, that is such a big issue now that kind of topped our list. Supply chain is a serious thing going on there, and we don't know where that's going to lead. I mean, there's only so much you know, the government can do to try to improve some of that. We just kind of fell behind because of a lot of different circumstances, and we're going to do what we can. But you know, that's definitely a high priority. Everything from, you know, moving our commodities to shovels for our cultivator to parts for our machinery is really a need that we're seeing out there, and we've been told it's going to get a little worse before it gets better, which is a concern for farmers.
Yeah, indeed, there are, you know, the just-in-time supply situation that we had, you know, started affecting toilet paper, and now it's urea and MAP and DAP and everything is you know, just a real concern. So
yep.
Sustainability is number two. So how do you describe, and what can you do about sustainability in what areas?
Well, and I think that it mostly has to deal with the viability of our soils, our land, you know, our crops. We try to, you know, there's nobody that cares more about soil than farmers. You know, that's our livelihood. We want to protect that for years to come. So we want to be able to rotate our crops and plant, you know, things such as cover crops and different things to just keep that soil in good health and keep it where it's at. You know, we can't afford to lose any going forward. We have to, we basically have to help feed the world, and we need to have good production out of our land. So that's kind of what we talk about in sustainability. You know, some of it can do with, you know, our actual farmers' sustainability, you know, the rural areas, some infrastructure and things like that. But it can vary across a broad range of things. So.
It's a priority issue, but again, education, or will you have programs coming out that will encourage or help farmers in that way?
We will, and we're big, you know, part of our thing is education. We have a promotion and education committee, That's the chair of that committee sits on our board, so we give a lot of input to them, and they are very good about getting out there and seeing what the needs are. Are there sessions that our membership needs or that's needed out there to address some of that situation? So our management and our committees are very good about doing what they feel is necessary to promote that.
So. All right, business with Shane Isney, Badger, Minnesota farmer, district, I can't remember, district, which one?
Seven.
Up there, Roseau County, Minnesota, director on Minnesota Farm Bureau. Workforce development. Boy, good help is hard to find.
Boy, it is, and I think we're seeing that across the whole country. I mean, it's not just in agriculture. Everywhere you go, small towns, big towns, you see help wanted signs everywhere. And, you know, from crazy things like fast food restaurants only opening up their drive-through because they don't have enough help. And we're seeing the same thing in ag. We're no different than all the other industries and shortage of help. So that also is a very, you know, covers a broad concern for us. You know, we do have a lot of migrant help, some workers that we rely upon for certain seasonal help. And so we want to try to make that easier for farmers and for the workers. I mean, we want to have that as good as we can, make the process a lot easier. There's the visas and the certain things that we need to support because frankly we need that labor and it's very important to the sustainability also too of our farms and especially with the livestock industry and even our processing plants that we use. We rely a lot upon that, and that's a hiccup we can't afford to have.
Yeah, and that is something we think of labor from another country. Usually think of it as a California or a Texas thing, but it affects everybody up here in the Dakotas and Minnesota too.
It does.
Yeah. All right. Other priority issues that maybe high on the list for you at Minnesota Farm Bureau?
Well, you know, there's we're coming into legislative session at the state level, and of course the federal level is always in session, it seems. And so we've got upcoming work we're going to have to be doing on Farm Bill, which is coming up sooner than you think. So after the first of the year, you're going to start to hear a lot of things on Farm Bill. You know, regulation is something we're always concerned about. They're opening up WOTUS. You know, renewable fuels are in the news again yesterday. There was a RFS number that really wasn't favorable to renewable fuels that we just came out yesterday from the administration. And so those are some of the main topics. When the state legislature gets back into session, we were hoping for a special session that would address some of the drought relief packages for especially the northern part of the state. You know, it doesn't look like we're probably going to get that in talking to some of the legislators. They think we're going to have to wait till regular session at the end of January, beginning of February. So I think that's one of the first priorities. And, of course, yesterday announced a surplus. So everybody's going to be fighting for that surplus in St. Paul, and we'll have to see how that all washes out.
North Dakota has gone through that, too, and the legislators I've talked to say it's more difficult during a surplus.
Yeah.
Because when you're either at budget or below, it's easy to say no.
Yeah.
But there you've got a long line of people all with very important needs. But is this part of the rural-urban divide that we live in now, and it's emblematic at the legislative
Yeah, and that's a lot of what Farm Bureau does too. We have we set as priorities to establish relationships with our metro friends and our metro lawmakers, because whether we like it or not, you know, based on the census, which now there's going to be another redistricting, and you know, we need to have the relationships with those urban lawmakers and those urban decision makers, because that's where the votes are. Frankly, you know, we're going to get our ag support, but important part of what Farm Bureau does is we try to really develop those relationships, because a lot of them, they don't understand what's going on in rural Minnesota or rural America, because you know they're living in those urban areas and have really lost their connection. You know, they maybe had a grandfather or somebody that's on a farm, but they don't have that anymore. So I think communication is something we do well at Farm Bureau, but we need to keep working harder at that. So.
You bet. At the state level and the national level, you've made a few trips to Washington D.C. yourself.
I have, and looking forward to know, getting back. Now we've missed because of the COVID restrictions, and but I already got a few plans to go. I'll be going a couple times this winter. I'm on a national Farm Bureau committee on farm policy, so we're going to be meeting with that again live. It's an important part, and you know what, the lawmakers really like seeing us in person. They like hearing from their constituents, but they really like seeing them, and that's an important some of those face to face meetings.
So. You bet. All right. Well, again, strength in numbers, and when you go to D.C. with a large group, or you go to St. Paul, very important. So join the organization if it's what you want to do. If it's the organization that appeals to you, Minnesota Farm Bureau, great organization.
So. Yeah, we should hire you for our PR group here, Mick. No, we do. We rely upon membership. That's our sole source of income and lets us do what we want to do. But, you know, and certainly, you know, if you're interested and if you want to check it out, fbmn.org is our state website. And just go on there and you can even sign up as a member online.
You bet. Yeah, I champion if you grow the crop, join the grower organization. If you if policy affects your farm, get involved. Whether it's Farmers Union, Farm Bureau, NFO, whatever, the Grange, join the organization that will speak for you in the capital. So
absolutely.
Alrighty. Hey Shane, thank you. Very good to see you again.
Well, as usual, Mick, it's great to talk to you again too.
Thank you. Have a great winter and good luck in 2022.
Thank you.